Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Verses 1 through 24, all of Psalm 139. Father, we thank you for the great way in which your word teaches us more and more about you. And as we learn more about you, we learn more about ourselves and how you've created us, how you've called us to know you, to walk with you, to serve you, to live for you. Thank you, Father, for the counsel we receive daily as we spend time in your word. And thank you for the wisdom and the insight about all of life that we gain as we spend time one-on-one meditating on your word and conversing with you through your word and in prayer. More and more, Lord, help us to live in your wisdom, your counsel, your grace, and help us to be faithful ambassadors for your kingdom that speak truth about every area of life. And in particular, as we speak of the issue of life today, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we are thankful for your Bible, your word, this book that you've written and shared with us and given us eyes to see and minds to understand what you say, this wonderful redemption story of you stepping in and rescuing us through your precious Son, Jesus. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. We're continuing to remind and encourage you that if you're not already involved, we hope that you will take the opportunity to get involved in the great outreach known as Operation Christmas Child. You can help send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox results in the great work of evangelism, discipleship, and the multiplication of the body of Christ. This is a direct way for you to help equip the local church around the world, Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners, with a simple platform, that is a shoebox gift, to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. in hard-to-reach areas and in more than 100 unreached people groups, these gift boxes are opening doors for evangelism and follow-up discipleship, often resulting in churches being planted in those communities. You can pack your shoebox now with any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November. This year, that's November 15th through the 22nd. For more information about how you can get involved or more information about how you can support the great work of Operation Christmas Child, visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. There you can learn more about this great outreach and also find out about a local drop-off location in your community. Hope you will get involved. Once again, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're grateful to have you listening today. And in the way of introducing our topic and then our very special guest with us today, I'm going to briefly, as we begin, I want to share an article that we wrote some few years back, but it's the article is simply entitled, Except in the Case of Rape. And I want you to listen to the message contained here. Again, the title, Except in the Case of Rape. The young woman was so excited after years of searching, waiting, pursuing leads, and being disappointed. Finally, God had blessed her to find and meet her birth mother, who was living in a nursing home. The mother was so excited and looking forward to meeting her precious daughter as well. After visiting, sharing, and spending time, the young woman asked her newly found mother the question she longed to ask her. She wanted to know the truth directly from her mom. She'd been told a few years ago by a social worker in what seemed to be a very insensitive manner, your mother was raped. Do you mind telling me how I was conceived? She asked her mom. She didn't want to hurt or cause her mom any pain, yet she really wanted to know the truth. Without hesitation, her mom told her what happened. I was raped by 8 men while walking home from seeing the movie The Ten Commandments. The young woman burst into tears and buried her face in her mother's lap while she knelt in front of her. She patted her newfound daughter on the shoulder and said graciously to her, Honey, stop your crying. That was a long time ago, and I've forgiven those men. And look what God has done. He's brought you back to me. God is faithful. Praise God. What a giant woman of faith. That was a brief retelling of a part of Judah Meyer's story in her book, Hostile Conception, Living with Purpose. It's a story with many insights and truths for the body of Christ to learn from about the topic of life and the value of every human being. It's too common amongst those who say they stand for life and against abortion that this statement is made. I'm against abortion, except in the case of rape. A few questions desperately need to be asked about this statement. Some of those questions are, what does that statement really mean? Does it mean that babies conceived through rape do not have the same right to live as babies conceived in other circumstances? Should babies conceived in such a violent manner be murdered for the crime of the father? Should a baby conceived through rape be considered somehow second class because of the tragic circumstance by which he or she was conceived? And if someone says that they are pro-life except in the case of rape, does that not make that person pro-choice? These are just a few tough questions that really need to be asked of persons who say they stand for life, yet make this tragic statement. It seems that when people make that statement, they are basically going against some of the very values they say they stand for. For instance, the Word of God says, you shall not murder. It doesn't say you shall not murder except in the case of rape. Yet to make the statement, I'm against abortion except in the case of rape, is like saying, I'm against murder except when you want to murder a person who was conceived under this particular circumstance. The Word of God does not change. It is an anchor that helps us in all circumstances know the will of God. The people of God must understand that we are called to stand for life. We're not called to stand for life except in the case of anything. We're called to stand for life, period. Again, the title of the article is simply, Except in the Case of Rape. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're honored to have as our phone guest today, Dana Patton. And Dana has a very unique and a powerful testimony she's going to share, her own personal adoption story with many insights that will help us in the body of Christ better understand the life issue and the wonderful ministry of adoption as well. Dana, how are you today?
I am doing great. How are you?
Doing really, really good. Dana, it's our privilege to have you back. It's been, I think, a few years since you've been on with us, but it's an honor to have you to come back again. If you'll take a moment now to introduce yourself, and then we're going to get right into your story.
Okay, it's an honor to be here again. I always love hearing you speak and hearing about your passion for this ministry. But my name is Dana Patton, and I live in Horn Lake, Mississippi, where I teach at Horn Lake Middle School. I'm a special education teacher. And my story is that I was given up for adoption when I was 5 days old. My birth mother also had been raped, which I didn't find out until much later. But I had always known that I was adopted. I just didn't know the circumstances for that. But I have heard many times from people that they believe in the pro-life cause, except in the case of rape. And that, to me, is very demoralizing to people like me when I look at my life and the difference I want to make for Christ and how they believe that that is somehow less because of conception, which is so wrong.
That's true. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to be coming up on a break. But on the other side of the break, one of the things, Dana, I'm going to ask that you'll do as we further introduce your story and your journey is to pray for believers to have ears to hear the Lord and what the Holy Spirit would say to them, because in part, you have a very powerful adoption story to share. And there are some persons listening who the Lord may very well be calling them into the great ministry and work of adoption as well. And then others that are supposed to support that work as well. I tell you, would you go ahead and take time now specifically to pray for our listeners?
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for every ear that hears your word today through this message and through this station. Just ask that their ears will be open and their hearts will be touched, and lives will be changed through this. There may be people out there now who have been in the circumstance and are wondering whether or not they should choose life for their child. And I just pray for those people right now and for everybody surrounding them and everyone who hears your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I too thank you for every person listening today, and thank you for the privilege of having Dana on today. Father, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of every single listener with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing so that they'll be all abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit. Lord, help us to be wide open to what you may be calling each of us to do. Thank you for the wonderful ministry of adoption and the opportunity you give us as believers, individually and collectively as the church, to enter into this wonderful area of ministry. Father, help us to better understand the fact that there are so many children, both in foster care and children that long to live and to have a forever home, a home where they'll be embraced and loved within a family. And help us to grow an understanding of what a wonderful ministry adoption is, and that by your grace, we were all adopted into your family, into the body of Christ, through your mercy, love, and loving kindness. Father, more and more open our eyes as the church to recognize, Lord, that this is a great act of love, a great area of need, and help us to be willing to ask what might seem like a hard question sometimes, but to ask the question, Lord, would you have me to adopt, or would you have me to become a foster parent, or would you have me to give generously to help the work and the ministry of adoption ministries? Help us to know, Lord, that this is an important work, an important area for us to pray and listen to your will about. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Dana Patton. We'll be right back.
Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see all of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing that He is alive, shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is the light, He is the light for all the world to see. The earth is arising. We prophesy about His kingdom coming, just like heaven all across the earth. 'Cause He is alive, shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is a light, He is a light for all the world to see.
The music of Brian and Katie Torwald, He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Dana Patton, and she's sharing a powerful, her own powerful adoption story and journey. So, Dana, if you'll just pick up near the beginning of your story, some of your early recollections as a child having been adopted, if you would.
I would be glad to. I was born actually just 2 days before Christmas, and my parents brought me home on December 28th. They brought me home in a Christmas stocking and used to tell me that I was their greatest Christmas gift. And that's how adoption was first brought to my mind, although I don't remember being told because I was so young. And I was even at my own baby shower that my mom's friends had for her soon after she brought me home, which I have pictures of that. It's kind of a neat thing. Most babies don't get to experience that part of their very beginning. Mm-hmm. But my parents never hid the fact that I was adopted. And when I was little, I didn't think about it too much. It was just life. It was just what I had, what I was. Even when I played with my dolls, I would always choose my favorite doll and make her adopted and tell my story through, you know, my play like that. And it just seemed normal. And then when I was about 12 years old, I remember being in church celebrating Mother's Day with my parents and thinking about Mary as the mother of Jesus and how she saw her sons beaten and crucified, even for us, generations who were not born yet. And God brought to my mind that day that Mary watched her son sacrifice so much for our salvation, and my own birth mother sacrificed on a much smaller scale, of course, for me to save my life and so that I could have the life that she wasn't able to give me. And from that moment on, I was convinced that I had to find her just to tell her that I loved her and to thank her for what she did for me. So from that moment on, I just became determined that one day I would find her when I was old enough. And as an adult, I did find out who she was, but sadly she died 4 years before I found her. So I never got to meet that miraculous woman who gave me life despite the circumstances. But I have met my sisters. She had two daughters after me who were very close to my age. And I have three aunts that were her sisters. And it was a little bit rocky at the beginning. They weren't very accepting of me because of my faith, and they didn't have the faith that I did. Hmm. So for several years, they wouldn't talk to me, and I just felt this rejection all over again through that. But thankfully, I just kept praying and praying for their salvation. And out of the blue, one day, I got a message, a Facebook message from one of my sisters saying that she has become a Christian and apologized, said she wanted a connection. And I found out that not only she wanted connections with me, but my other sister and all three of my aunts, who are now in my life. I've been to visit them a couple of times since this. And we have just been having a wonderful time getting to know each other. And this is kind of a difficult time of year for all of us because my birth mother actually died on Thanksgiving Day 4 years before I knew, and she died trying to find me. So it's a little bit difficult for all of them remembering being with her and remembering her talking about wanting to find me. And for me, you know, this time of celebration and holidays coming up, wishing that I could celebrate with her as well as with my adoptive family, who are all amazing. I have been so blessed, twice blessed with two families.
Well, Dana, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for families who may have been through similar circumstances like yours, you know? And, you know, sometimes Satan will try to use what would basically be small things to keep families from reconciling, from forgiving, from reaching out, from just loving each other. And, you know, clearly, obviously, it's the will of the Lord that families would be full of the love of Jesus for one another and full of the love of Jesus to share with the world as well. Yet the devil often tries to bring some of the biggest divisions that he possibly can within families. So would you pray for families as a whole?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we know that the family unit is the most precious thing you have created on this earth. We just ask that you bless families who need reconciliation, who have gone through divorce or abuse or anything else that could tear families apart, that that is not your will for families to be apart. We thank you for bringing them together, for reconciling parents and children, husbands and wives, grandparents and grandchildren, and any other family unit that I can think of. Just thank you for that, for putting us on earth to love each other. And I thank you for the spiritual family too, God. Bonds formed through your love, even if we are not related by DNA. And I just ask your blessing on all these different family units. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for the opportunity you give us as your children, the people of God, to be ambassadors of love in the kingdom of God. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of love, mercy, and grace. Help us to know, Lord, that you let us know in your word that they would know us by our love. Help us to live in such a way that our homes and our families are full of your love, our immediate families, our extended families, and help us to live in such a way that we pour the love of Jesus into every circumstance we step into by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be known for that love which radiates through our words, our actions, our attitudes, our lives, and our lifestyles. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dana, tell us, if you would, a little bit more about the family that adopted you, your dad and mom.
They were absolutely amazing. I never even felt adopted because of the way they raised me. I was an only child. My mom just never was able to have children for whatever reason. And from what they have told me, my dad knew a lawyer who handled adoptions personally and asked him, said, do you know of anybody who is about to have a baby who would like to consider adoption? And that's where they found out about me. And they had 2 weeks to get ready for me. Most people have months and months when they find out they're pregnant till the baby is born. But they had 2 weeks to get a nursery ready and to get diapers and clothes and cribs and everything. And they made it happen, though, through friends and other family. And they just always made me feel like it was something very special to be adopted into their family. And sadly, my dad passed away in 2007. I was definitely a daddy's girl. We did everything together. And I do miss him. But my mom is very close to me. She lives just in the same city I live in. So I see her quite a bit. And we're best friends now. We went from mother and daughter to best friends when I grew up. And I can't imagine my life without either one of them.
So you're blessed with your adoptive family and your birth. You've reconnected with some of those that are in your birth family as well then.
That's right.
That's good.
Twice blessed is what I call myself.
Amen. Amen. Well, what would be some words of encouragement that you'd encourage listeners to do as it relates to considering going down the same road your parents did as they looked at adoption? You know, for many people, the thought of adopting children has never crossed their mind. And then those people, sometimes couples that do not have children, We'll look at the possibility of adopting. But then there are sometimes families that may be moderate in size or even large, that people that choose to adopt. What words of encouragement would you share with them about prayerfully considering adopting?
Adopting children is no different than having your own biologically, according to my family. I've heard people say that they didn't want to adopt because they wanted their own children. But when you adopt, that is your own child. And it doesn't matter how big or small your family is. I go to a church. I go to attend Cornerstone Church here in South Haven, Mississippi, and they are very pro-adoption. I know about half the families I know there have either children who are adopted or touched by adoption in some way. And it's so important for churches to get behind families like that as well, to have that spiritual family behind them, because you can't do it alone. A parent who has a baby naturally can't do it alone. They have support around them, and the same with adopting children. So have that support system in place, definitely.
Mm. And praise God for the fact that you have a church that is pro-adoption as well, in it, because it's a world where if you've never looked into it or studied about it, there's so much about it that your average person just wouldn't know. And sometimes people wonder, well, why does it cost so much money behind adoption? Well, there are reasons behind that, but at the same, but bigger than that is the God who adopted us and who makes a way, in spite of whatever financial or other obstacles may seem to be in the way. We serve a God that's so big that if this is something that God places on your heart, God can definitely make it, help you to make it happen, as we trust Him to do just that. So, but the ministry of adoption is such an important one as well. And I think of this too. If you ever have the opportunity to talk to children that long to be adopted, to talk about wanting and just longing to be a part of a forever family, that can touch your heart in some unique ways, because the fact is, many people have no idea what that feels like, to be one who has no dad or mom for whatever reason that they can call dad or mom, that, in whose home they live. And so the whole ministry of adoption is such an important one for us to know. And how would you encourage believers, even if they're not called to adoption, what are some things that you'd encourage them to consider doing, Dana?
I would encourage them to support those who are adopting or who have adopted. Like, throw them baby showers like my mom's friends did for her, even though I wasn't her natural child and it was after I was born. They showered her with gifts and with love and offered to babysit. There's so many things you can do. You know, give the parents a night out and let babysit their child, or make sure that they have the necessities. Throw diaper parties. I've heard that's a big thing now with showers, because those are a necessity that are very expensive, especially today. And just different things like that to help them financially and emotionally be able to make adoption happen.
Hmm, that's good. That's good. Now, you're a school teacher, too. At what point, at what age were you when you realized that that was what was on your heart to do, to become a school teacher?
Almost from the moment I entered school in kindergarten, I just have always wanted to teach. I've had a heart for kids. And I'm teaching this year eighth graders, which is different. I've taught high school in the past and elementary school. So now I'm right in the middle, and I wouldn't change a thing. I just have such a heart to help kids feel valued and feel like they belong, even more so than the curriculum. The curriculum, the education is extremely important. That is my main purpose. But I also feel like teaching some ministry to make those kids feel valued.
Hmm. So how many years have you taught?
I'm going on my 17th year.
Okay, so you've been at it a few years then. So
I have, yes.
And, you know, I would want to say in the way of encouragement to every believer who is a school teacher is that the public schools are a huge mission field for many, many reasons. And I would invite every single listener to pray much for God to send forth more believers into the public schools, because, again, it's a mission field that needs so much help. We see with the topic of CRT being much in the news, and we see that, again, we come to realize what a battleground the public school system really, really is today. But the need for Christians who stand up for their faith in the classroom and in public school in the public school setting is probably greater now than it ever has been. So we need to pray much for public schools and the mission field that it is, and for believers who are called into that mission field. Father, thank you, Lord, for Dana and other Christians who are called to be teachers, to serve in public schools and to serve in schools, period. Father, anoint each and every one of them with a fresh anointing. And Lord, raise up more and more strong, mature Christian believers who know how to listen to your Holy Spirit and be ambassadors for your kingdom in the public schools. And Father, more and more, flood the public schools with your light, your peace, and your mercy, because again, Satan has tried so much to flood them with darkness, yet greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Raise up more and more strong Christian teachers who will go into that mission field as the witnesses you'd have them to be, and use persons like Dana and so many more who are seeking to let their light shine for your glory in the building of your kingdom, who are seeking to be vessels through which you can reach and minister to children and young people as you'd have them to. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Dana Patton. She has a powerful adoption story that she's sharing. We'll be right back after this break. Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dana Patton. She's a school teacher. She has a very powerful and unique adoption story. Now, Dana, I want to ask you about one aspect of your story, which is might in many ways be a difficult topic to talk about, yet you, by the grace of God, share even this difficult topic in your powerful testimony. You shared that you were conceived in rape. How old were you when you learned about that specific aspect of your own story?
I learned that after I had met my biological family. My adoption was very closed. I didn't know anything other than the hospital until I had found my family. So I was about 30 to 35, somewhere in there, when I asked one of my aunts about this. And this is before, when they were still talking to me. I just found them, and they were very receptive. And then we went through that dark time where we weren't in communication. But right before all of that happened, she sat down and she said, "It's going to be hard for you to hear, and I don't know how to say it." And I said, "I'd rather just know the truth so I can deal with it." And that's when she told me it was rape. It was somebody that my birth mother had known, and it was a date rape, basically. Mm-hmm. And he knows I exist. I don't know who my biological father is, because she never said, but I know he knows I exist. and wanted her to have an abortion, but she didn't do it. And I'm so thankful for that.
Was that was that extremely difficult for you to hear?
It was very difficult. I went back to Chicago. That's where I was born. Went to Chicago to teach for a couple of years. And when I found this out, and I remember sitting on some rocks over Lake Michigan in the bitter cold February, looking down and just thinking, God, I shouldn't have happened because rape shouldn't happen. And I felt like I just wanted to jump off those rocks at that moment. That's how devastated I was and how dirty and unworthy I felt I was. But God himself saved me from that moment and told me that I was worthy, that he gave me this life, and now it's up to me to do something with it and to make a difference with it. And that right there just changed my whole mindset. There are days I still struggle because that's a horrible crime against women that should not happen, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, obviously, but at the same time, something beautiful came from that, a life came from that, and that's what I have to try to focus on.
And, you know, Dana, you stated that so beautifully and so powerfully, and it's an important truth for believers to keep in mind is that 100% of the time when conception happens, it's the hand of God. And we serve a God that's so big, he can take what would normally be considered clearly a tragedy and a crime, yet bring something beautiful and powerful out of that. Again, God doesn't cause it, but of course he can bring something beautiful out of it. Again, such a big God that we serve. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are a God, that even in the midst of tragic crimes and difficulties and problems in life, you're a God that can see through that and bring great good out of it. Thank you, Father, for many individuals like Dana who may have been conceived under difficult circumstances, yet you have and continue to use people like her to do exploits, to do wonderful things, to bless the whole world. Thank you for the gift that Dana and each of these individuals are, as all people are. We thank and praise you for your sovereignty over this matter, and help us more and more to always see things through the lens of your word and your spirit. Help us to learn to see everything that way, through the counsel and wisdom and grace of your word and spirit always. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, you know, Dana, I think of this, that I don't know how many times, you know, maybe all of us have heard, whether it's a politician or even a spiritual leader or someone else, that say, well, I'm against abortion except in the case of rape. Well, it's very important for us as believers to understand, biblically speaking, that's a wrong and really a wicked statement to make. Because that's as if a person is saying, well, I'm against murder except the people that were conceived in this particular kind of way. And so it's important to understand God's word doesn't change. He says, you shall not murder, period. And so that doesn't change based on the way or the circumstances under which a person was conceived. And of course, the question needs to be asked, why, you know, when people say, well, I'm against abortion except in the case of rape, well, the question needs to be asked, why punish the child for the crime of the father? That's like giving the baby capital punishment because of the crime of the father. So it doesn't really make sense for a person to ever make that statement or try to stand by that statement as well. So, but other thoughts that come to your mind that you'd share with our listeners about that issue?
Well, that's true what you were saying about politicians. It's one thing if a politician or any other person does not have God in their life, does not know Jesus, is not a Christian, you can almost see why they would think that, because they don't value life the way we do. You could almost understand why they say it. Doesn't make it right, but you can almost see their point. But when it's a Christian, and that's what has hurt me in the past, is other Christians who have said that. I believe in the Bible, God is love, but you were conceived in rape, so you don't have the same value as this other person. God never said that. That was nowhere in the Bible. Does he say one baby is less than another baby just because of circumstances and their conception? God uses, the whole Bible is full of sinners that God has used for his glory. Nobody is perfect. And we are all conceived in original sin, whether they're conceived in love, in marriage, or in rape. It's still original sin that ties us all together. And it's through Christ that we are free from that. And that includes babies who are conceived in rape.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's so important for us to understand, too, that our goal should be to grow and mature in our Christian walk to where more and more we see the world through the lens of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And, of course, through that lens, we can basically understand that every child that comes into the world is planned by God. Even if we don't understand that, you know, as it relates to children that may have been conceived through a rape situation, again, still, all those children are planned by God. And they're just as much a gift to the world as every other child as it comes into the world as well. So, again, the spiritual maturity helps us to better see things that way. And too often, immaturity will keep us from seeing things from God's point of view, from a biblical perspective and a point of view as well. So, well, Dana, our time is almost gone. I wanted to ask you this, too. As a school teacher, you've had a chance to touch the lives of many children, as well as, you know, you've shared your testimony, you know, with us on the broadcast in the past, and also you participated in a number of the Festival for Life events that we hold in different local churches, and each time you've shared your story, I've shared with you recently that it seems like there's a little bit more that you have shared about your journey. In particular with your family, anything further that you'd like to share that might be of encouragement to our listeners about just the journey you've had with the family that you've come to know?
The journey, it's just like the Bible is the living word. I feel like this journey is ongoing, and there are new chapters unfolding all the time, and I'm just so excited to see what's going to happen next. I'm going, actually hoping to visit the first part of Christmas Vacation, going back to visit this aunt in Chicago and have a little bit of an early Christmas with them. And a few years ago, I would have never thought that this would happen. I'm just so grateful and so blessed that God has brought them into my life as we get to know each other.
Mm, that's good. And you said at least one of your sisters has come to know the Lord then.
Yes, and both of them have been open to me, and I believe the other one is very close behind and coming to know the Lord the way I do.
Amen. And we're going to believe the Lord with you towards that end as well. And have your aunts, have they come to know the Christ as well?
Yes, they have. And actually, one of them got baptized on the 4th of July, which is very symbolic. And I got to see her baptism through Zoom. I mean, that's one thing. You know, COVID has brought so much negativity, but that's one positive aspect is that Zoom and people have been drawn closer. And so I was sitting in my own church in the cafe watching my aunt be baptized in her church 500 miles away. It was just amazing. I'm so proud of her and so happy for the life she's got now with Jesus.
Mm, that's neat. That's neat. And, you know, Dana, it's very important, amongst other things, for believers to recognize that, you know, of course, we don't, in our humanness, we don't get to choose our families, you know, but the reality is one of the clear purposes God has in placing us in the families he places us in is so that we will be a light and a witness to our whole family for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we thank you for every single listener. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be ambassadors for your kingdom, specifically to our family and to our loved ones as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of joy and peace and grace. Help us to be faithful witnesses that will have the wisdom and grace to know how to effectively minister to our families, to invite them to come to know Christ, and to effectively minister to them, to invite them to grow and grow stronger and grow up in their walk with the Lord for those that know the Lord as well. And help us to know, Lord, that you have great purpose and great things in store for us as we are instruments in your hands to touch our family, to point them to Christ, and to help them in their walk with the Lord as well. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dana, if someone's listening and they would like to maybe email you or contact you, is there a way they can do that at this time?
Yes, they can. They can contact me through my email address, which is Rejoicean, that's REJ OICIAN 14 Jeanette@yahoo.com, and I'm open to any questions or just anything that they would like to talk about.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dana, again, for how that you graciously and just courageously share your powerful story and journey to bless and help other people. Thanks again. And in the last few moments of our broadcast, as usual, yeah, for all of our listeners, we normally give this opportunity. We want to do that once again today. If you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, remember the most important decision in all of life is the decision to receive Christ. If you'd like to make that step and that decision today, would you simply pray this prayer with me now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. Lord, you let us know in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my entire life for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you made that decision and you prayed that prayer, would you email us at jparker@afa.net? Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to hear from you as well as share with you some literature that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Dana, thank you again for being with us. Once again, would you like to share your email once again if someone would like to be in touch with you?
Sure. It's Dana Patton. The email is rejoicean, rejoicean, 14@yahoo.com.
All right, Dana, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Hey, thank you.
All right, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Pray much for Dana. She shares her powerful testimony and blesses and encourages people in their walk with the Lord. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.